We have this saying. If we don't, we're going to skip it because I don't have it memorized. All right, there we go. Cool. So if you guys want to rise and raise up your Bibles as we make this declaration. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Okay, so it's Mother's Day. I found this quote, and it said, there are two kinds of people, those who have their moms still alive on this earth and those who do not. Everything changes when your mom passes. If she is here with you today, make sure to kiss her feet, kiss her head, kiss everything about her. She is beautiful, and it is such an honor to honor the mamas that we have in this room and the spiritual mom. So we just love you guys so much, and the mamas to be. Amen? Amen. So after I preach, you guys get to share and tribute to your mom. So if you don't like what I'm saying, you can just think about what you're going to be saying. That's the way my family does it at dinner time. So anyways, Jesus said in Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. So, for this Mother's Day, I'm going to show you how to recognize demonic activity. Number two, how to protect yourself against demonic activity. And number three, how to expel demons from your life. And this is only for those of us who are saved. If you're not saved, you're going to have an opportunity to accept Jesus as Lord of your life, but there is a power and authority that comes with making Jesus Lord of your life, and that's the only way to stay clean from demons. So I'll give you an opportunity for that in a little while. So my sister always knows that I preach on Mother's Day, and she's like, oh, so what are you preaching on? And I'm like, the demonic. And she's like, well, what are you trying to do, scare everybody? And I'm like, you know, that's a really good point. I should address that. So number one, I love my sister so much. She'll kill me for saying that to you guys. So there is no fear because we as Christians have been given all power and all authority over demons. Luke 10:19, if you want to turn to it, and should be on the board. Yeah. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall hurt you. And we know when Jesus is saying serpents and scorpions, he's not talking about things in the desert. He's talking about demons. So he's given us all of that power and all of that authority. So number one, there's just no fear. There's just an overcoming, victorious life. Number two, this is an equipping church. And so you have to be trained up in all of the things of the ministry. Dealing with demons is just part of what we do. And lastly, for some of us, this is going to be the very best news you could hear today. It might be the unblocking of something in your life where you're trying to do something and you just really can't. This might be the need to remove one of those demons from blocking you. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit more, a little bit deeper. So you're going to get equipped from the Word of God. You're going to experience a new level of freedom, and we are going to affect our future and our spiritual generations and their family lives. Amen? Last week, Mike talked about being whole, and being free from demons as believers is one way to be whole. You know, there's a whole theology out there where people weren't sure if Christians could be demonized. I'm like, have you met Christians? Like, do we even have to go through the theological basis? Can't we just kind of go through what we're manifesting and kind of look at it that way? So I'm not going to talk to you about the theological part of it. I'm just going to break it down to a level that I understand. I teach 3- and 4-year-olds, so if I understand it, then we can all understand it, right? So I grew up in a very traditional liturgical style denomination. I did hear about the devil tempting Jesus, but I can remember being absolutely shocked when I found out that there were demons, which are little minions that work for the devil, who were trying to carry out plans against us. I was like, oh my gosh, that changes everything. I was totally shocked, and I went to church like from 3rd grade on, so I was really, really shocked. So if this is a newsflash for some of you, there are demons or evil spirits on this earth that are here to try to kill, steal, and destroy your life. So be encouraged. It's a good message. We have the victory, and I'm going to show you how to take care of them, most importantly. So the first thing that we are going to be able to do is to recognize demonic activity. Demons have 3 main purposes assigned to them by Satan. First, to torment and afflict us. Second, to keep us from knowing Christ as Savior. And third, to keep us from serving or worshiping Christ effectively. So the Holy Spirit is the number one way that you're going to recognize demonic activity. For me, once I got saved, I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because when I started reading my Bible, I looked at the life Jesus said I could have, and I looked at what I had, and I just knew something was wrong. I knew something wasn't the overcoming, victorious life. My reality and my theology were just kind of like this instead of intertwined. And I didn't have the terminology to say I'm filled with demons from my highly rebellious and sinful past life. I didn't have the terminology to say I'm saved, but I'm not set free. I didn't know those types of Christian words. I just knew something's not right. And so I guess if you're here today or listening online and you just feel like there's something not right, like you're saved, but there's some things off, this could be it. This could be the answer you've been searching for. Again, if you're not a Christian, you'll be able to recognize maybe demonic activity, but that's as far as you'll go unless you want to commit your life to Christ. So, number one sign, unforgiveness, the practice of unforgiveness, or wanting to forgive but not being able to forgive. So I'm going to give you a few different scenarios of what this looks like. A friend of mine was praying for someone for physical healing, and they're like, hey, do you have anybody that you need to forgive in your life? And they're like, no. So my friend prayed for physical healing, and nothing was happening, and he just knew, like, something's off. And he's like, the Holy Spirit said, ask them if they're mad at anyone. So he's like, are you mad at anyone? And the person's like, oh, yeah. So people sometimes don't understand that if you're mad at someone, you do need to forgive them. It is God's commandment. If you're a Christian, it is God's commandment that we forgive. Another way unforgiveness looks is like a girl named Anna in Neil Lozano's book, Unbound. He said, are you ready to forgive? And she was like, yes. And he said, repeat after me. And she literally could not repeat the words. So that's obviously a spirit of unforgiveness. Lastly, this looks like someone saying, I'm not in unforgiveness, I just hate them. I don't want anything to do with them. I cringe every time I look at them. All right, well, if you're cringing when you look at them or when you think about them, you probably haven't gone through that full level of forgiveness. So a disclaimer, if you are in an abusive situation and you have forgiven them, but you have a healthy boundary, this is not what I'm talking about. That's something completely different. If you have healthy boundaries because you have removed yourself from an abusive situation, that is a very good thing. These are different situations where it is unforgiveness keeping you in a situation. So it's not easy, but if Jesus is Lord of your life, then you must choose to walk without offense. And actually, if you're choosing to be mad at people and harbor unforgiveness, you really don't need the Lord, because that's pretty easy for all of us to do. But you are going to need him and draw on him like never before if you are truly going to forgive the people that have hurt you and truly walk without offense. I mean, it comes up daily, right? Daily we have to forgive. Daily there are people that hurt our feelings. Daily there are people that just say the really wrong thing to you, and you're like, oh, that hurt so bad. and you have to forgive. And it's not always a perfect situation where they come up to you and they go, oh, I'm so sorry, I hurt your feelings. Oh, it just doesn't work like that. Like, you have to work it out this way. And if you do it that way, he'll give you the grace to do it this way, whether you ever have a conversation with them or not. So forgiveness is God's commandment. And when you obey, you come into the joy of your master. That's what the Gospel of Matthew says. But if you don't want to forgive for all of those reasons, but wait, there's more. Unforgiveness ties you to that event. It ties you to that person. So forgiveness enables you to move on with your life instead of keeping some areas on hold until someone apologizes or some event happens to fix the pain. You do not have to stay imprisoned or stuck because of bitterness. You can choose to forgive and be released from the chains of bitterness and be able to move on and start rebuilding your life. You are the one who benefits in forgiving others. So again, number one sign of demonic activity, unforgiveness, the practice of unforgiveness. And I have been delivered from this one. I've been delivered from a lot of these. Number two, the fruit of the other spirit. So in Galatians 5:22, it tells us that the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So signs of demonic activity in someone's life or in your own life, or signs of an afflicting spirit or an evil spirit, those are all words used interchangeably in the Bible, would be the practice, not the one-time occurrence, but the practice of things like pride, anxiety, fear, rejection, resentment, lust, anger, rebellion, hate, uncontrollable behavior, selfishness, disappointment, loneliness, misery, depression, confusion, lying, cursing, blasphemy, gossip, criticism. I think we've all seen it when a person comes into the room and then all of a sudden you can feel their anger. If that's a reoccurring theme in that person's life, they're probably going to want to check around for one of these spirits of anger. Derek Prince was actually came through a generational line. He had a spirit of rage. Rodney Hogue. He had a spirit of rage. He had it when he was a little kid. He just would burst out in these rages, and it was a generational familial spirit that just came through. So we, as the body of Christ, are called to carry the kingdom of God or the presence of God with us wherever we go. We're called to manifest the kingdom, the fruit of the Spirit. And a simple self-test would be to just ask yourself, what am I carrying in when I walk into a room? Like, when I walk into the break room, is everything like getting into a confusion, or is there just like an automatic peace because I came in? Or if people are gossiping and they come in, do they stop because they know the presence of the Lord just came in with me? It's a really good self-check to just say, what's coming in? So for you guys who know a little bit of my story, when Mike and I first got married, I was uncontrollably yelling at him every day. Uncontrollably. I was not respectfully disagreeing. I was yelling. And I would think to myself, what in the world is wrong with me? And I would say, I'm never going to do it again. but it would happen daily. And one day, he deserved to be yelled at this particular time. And all the other times he usually really didn't, but that particular time he really deserved to be yelled at. And I can remember I said, I'm really disappointed with that decision. And we went on a walk around the block. And I think it takes like 20 or 30 minutes. And when we came back, I walked in the house and I had this spirit of faith rise up in me. And I was like, I didn't yell at you. Yes! And I was like crying out thankful to God, because I just knew right then that spirit had gone. And I didn't know at the time, like it didn't, I didn't remember at the time, but later on I remembered the story my mom always told me about my grandma yelling at my grandmother yelling at my grandfather, and how she would always like berate him and yell at him. I didn't know that thing was just waiting in my generational line until I got married. I didn't have a problem with it before. And so so it just spontaneously got delivered because the Lord just clamped my mouth, and then I knew what happened. I was like, so anyways, and back then, well, you guys know Mike, so he wasn't yelling back at me, which is funny now, but at the time it really made me mad. So isn't it good that you can be delivered and that you can be free from these things and we can be real for me, with each other? So the first time I heard about tithing, I was absolutely furious. I had no idea that was a demon rising up, but it's safe to bet that when someone is preaching the word of God and its truth, and you feel something rising up in you, you might want to check yourself for one of these little friends and unfriend it. So another lady's story, Betsy. She has a story about practicing a fruit that is not from the Holy Spirit. Her grandfather wanted her mother to abort her, so she carried a spirit of fear around with her for 44 years. She was so sure that she would die in her sleep that she kept the light on until she was 44 years old and got delivered. It's amazing what can come through and attack you. So again, this is just the practice of a fruit not found in Galatians 5:22. So Derek Prince is a famous evangelist, went on to be with the Lord, but he suffered from intense depression. And it would shut him in. It would keep him from communicating. And he fasted and he prayed and he knew the scripture, but it just kept getting worse. And one day he read in Isaiah 61, in place of the spirit of heaviness, a spirit of praise. And when he knew that he was dealing with a spirit, a disembodied person, and not himself, he said that was half of the freedom. He said it was 80% victorious, because before he was kind of like, what's wrong with me? What am I doing? So when you know that you're dealing with a spirit, you're mostly there as far as getting delivered. And of course, he got completely free. All right. Number three, being hindered from allowing the Lord to be Lord of your life. So, for example, these are the people that come to Christ. They say, I believe in you, Jesus, but don't mess with this habit or that habit or this friendship or this relationship or this thing that I like to do. This person can believe in God, but they can't believe God. So they're not able to believe what God says about them and what God says he wants to do through them. So this is normally a spirit of like unbelief or compromise. The name of these things really isn't important. The important thing is to know that something is trying to block you, and if that's you, we can come against it. So this person is just failing to go from glory to glory. You know, it's that person that you meet, and they're like, I've been saved for 40 years, and you're like, really? Okay. You know, like, where's the fruit of God in your life? Like, what's he been doing with you, you know, around any time? Like, what's the fruit? Are you changed? Is he really the Lord of your life? You know, you got to wonder about those questions. If you've been a Christian for a day, your life should have been radically changed. I can remember going like, but Lord, this movie's my favorite movie. And he goes, no, it's not. And I was like, yeah, it's my favorite. I know, I laugh all the time. And I put it on and I was like, oh, Lord, this is not my favorite movie anymore. Oh my gosh, you're right. And so it's a lot to deal with because your friends are like, what's wrong with you? And you're like, I don't know. Gotta work it out. So number four, being hindered from doing life with Christians, serving in church and being a part of the body of Christ, both receiving and ministering. So I love what Neil Lozano says in his book Unbound. He says, shortly after being saved, however, I began to notice that the devil brought opposition to me when I was seeking to serve the Lord, whether it was an ill-timed sickness before retreat or my back would go out right before I was scheduled to speak. I became aware of how Satan used my fear to cause physical symptoms in order to deter me. I began to understand that temptation was not just a struggle against personal weakness, but was, in fact, a strategic, demonic campaign to derail me and to destroy my faith. It does get better. It does get better. So if that's you, every time you want to get involved with the body, every time there's just something coming against you, it gets better. And when you get delivered, it gets way easier. So isolation and hurting oneself. Number five, Mark 5:2-3 and 5:5 says, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. A lady wrote her story from hurting herself another way. She says, I lately found myself sliding back down a slippery slope of eating when I wasn't hungry. She began eating every time she was angry, frustrated, alone. Yuck, she says, when the few pounds I'd lost with plenty of hopelessness, guilt, anger, depression, I was so frustrated because I knew better. But what was being disobedient and feeling cut off from God, it was like I couldn't hear him or approach him until I got the food obedience thing down. So that's one way of isolating yourself. So instead of running to God, running to the people that surround you that can pray for you, you're running to food, you're running to a something else. This one I thought was really interesting. It's Raul's story. He says, he tried to make up for his own sin by confession, remorse, and self-accusation. His pride would not let him receive God's forgiveness and mercy. Refusal to let go of guilt is often the work of pride, which deceives us into thinking we must redeem ourselves. Self-justification required that he do something to make it better. So you want to make sure that it's not this act of pride that keeps bringing up your own condemnation. And it could be a spirit of condemnation that is attached to you. Number six, when a person experiences trauma or hurt and deals with that pain away from God's light. So this one is one that we're going to be dealing with a lot more next week when Wounded No More comes. But basically, when a trauma comes into your life and you don't deal with it in the light of God, that's when you see a lot of things form in a person's life. It could be a lot of different things, but if you've been abused, if you've been into a tragic experience, sometimes the way that you've dealt with those things internally has manifested in these unclean things coming and attaching because they want to take advantage of that situation. So the things buried in darkness have great influence on us. The things we have never told anyone, the things we have not processed in light of God's love for us, the way we learn to cope with pain in our life apart from the love of God is a door to the influence of evil spirits. And just as God uses people as instruments of his love and mercy, Satan wants to use people as his instruments of rejection and condemnation. So again, if that is hitting home with you, we're going to deal with it a lot more next week, but we're praying that you'll experience some freedom today, just realizing that it has to come out into the light. Number seven is the occult. So witchcraft, sorcery, fortune tellers, horoscopes, Ouija boards. The occult represents the spiritual realm where people seek, one, knowledge, or two, power from any source other than God. And I just want to make a note here that the vast majority of people who get involved with the occult do not realize they are doing anything wrong. I have a friend that practiced a lot of these things, and she was like, I thought I was spreading light, and she was like, I was so deceived. So it's not fun and games. It is opening up yourself to the demonic. And here is another story from Lorenzo's book. This girl says, when I was 13, I went to a witch to read my fortune. She told me I would lose my first baby and have a car accident when I was 27. It was just a game. I did not think much about it, but as I grew and thought about marriage, I developed this fear of losing my child. I am 19 and still don't own a driver's license. When I drive with someone, I often have the compulsion to grab the wheel and turn the car into the tree. So in this situation, the spiritual bondage came quickly because of the invitation she made to the demons by going to a fortune teller. Other people will say things like, I feel like a dark cloud is over me. If it's not one thing, it's another. This is another story. He says, when he was young, his mother took him to a psychic healer. And during the prayer, he renounced the connection and any spirit that had come to him through the contact. And he felt something lift and go. And later he testified that it was though he was under a cloud his whole life, and he'd just never known it, and now the cloud was gone. So the Bible says, give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them. Do not be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 19:31. The second part of the occult is trying to get power from any source other than God. And this includes things like alternative medicines like energy healing and Reiki. These people are they are seeking other things other than God to try to heal you. You don't want to have someone work on you when they are practicing some of these things. Demons transfer in that way, so you don't want to open yourself up to the demonic. Number eight, all thoughts of suicide are demonic. All. Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. If the thought brings life and hope, it's Jesus. If it brings death and hopelessness, it's demonic. And when that thing tries to come against you, you need to say, I will live and not die and proclaim the praises of my King. So can we just say that? I will live and not die and proclaim the praises of my King. That is your scripture. If those thoughts are coming against you, that is your scripture. You are going to stand on it. Every time the enemy gives you one, you're going to thank Jesus that you are going to live a long life and proclaim his praises. Number nine and the last sign is willful sin that I'll be talking about. There's others, but this is my sermon. So number nine is willful sin. So repeated willful sin is an open door to the enemy. Sins born out of lust can lead to the bondage of sexual addiction. These spirits are things like the spirit of adultery, fornication, masturbation, pornography, nicotine, misuse of prescription drugs, illegal drugs. If you hate yourself for doing it but cannot stop, it is a spirit that is helping you. You must be determined and come against it. My father quit smoking one day by throwing his cigarettes out the window. My mother couldn't quit smoking until she had an entire lung removed from her. You can bet she had a spirit of nicotine enslaving her. So at the beginning of my preach, I said that for some of us, this is the very best news we could hear because it might be the key to unblocking ourselves. There might be something coming against us, and I just want to share with you, at the age of 18, I willfully entered into sexual sin, and once I did it, I was trapped. I was so enslaved, and I remember just feeling horrible and crying all the time, but I literally could not get out of it. I couldn't escape. Part of the problem is that I didn't know how to repent. I had no idea what that looked like. But because when you repent, at least you're opening yourself up and saying, God, this is what I've done, and here's an invitation to come and rescue me. But the other part that was working against me is that spirits come through generational lines. Numbers 14:18 says, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children upon the third and fourth generation. So I wish I could say that at age 18, I stepped into sin, and then I went to like a Christian, and they helped me, and life got really better. But I literally suffered for the next 9 years in bondage. When I found out how demons work, I was like, dude, that was my problem. Why didn't anybody help me? I wasn't in a spirit-filled church. I was a little kid, you know, I was 18. But I would go to my mom's church, even though there was like zero spirit. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying it was dead in there, guys. I couldn't sit there. The weight of my sin was so heavy, I would just get up and go walk around. I couldn't sit there. Anyways, I found that people in bondage to sexual sin, substance addictions, pornography, they all kind of feel under the same category. I have a big heart for people that have come from this kind of background. And I just feel like when I stand before you saying that I was taken under by sexual sin, but like I stand here today and people are always like, really, you? They look at me like I'm crazy. But I stand in his righteousness. His holiness, his purity, his freedom, his authority, his power. And I just feel like that's a declaration to some of you guys right now, that if you feel this overwhelming, like, oh my gosh, this is my problem, that this could be your day of freedom as well. And we know that if God did it for somebody, he'll do it for us, right? If he did it for anybody, if you've ever heard of God doing it, you can like just take it and be like, God, I want that freedom. So Derek Prince had someone come up to him and they were like, I have a spirit of masturbation, but I really enjoy it. Can you deliver me? And he was like, no, I can't. I cannot deliver you unless you hate the sin. God cannot deliver you from your friends. He can only deliver you from your enemies. So you have to hate the sin that has ensnared you, and only then can you be delivered. So those are the signs. So if any of that kind of tugged at your heart, these are going to be things that you can actively do. So protecting yourself from the demonic, trusting God, along with resisting temptation, repenting of sin, renouncing the works of the devil, and forgiving those who have harmed us accounts for 98% of our deliverance, according to Lorenzo. And I believe him. Forgive. Again, forgiveness is a commandment. It is an offensive protection against the schemes of the enemy. Forgive whoever caused the hurt, led you down the wrong path. Be specific, item by item, release the offender to God, and commit to take his or hands off and bless the individual. So if you're cringing, you didn't forgive them yet. You have to be able to bless them unto God. So if you aren't able to forgive and you still have resentment in your heart, do not seek deliverance. You will not stay free. Confession and repent of sin. That is something that you should put on every day with your armor. Every day. So there's a grace movement out there that says, you don't have to confess your sins. Oh, you can just sin and God will forgive you. No. Like, we have to have that communication with God. We have to be that way to make sure that our hearts are pure. And I think the best way that I can explain confession is just through my marriage with Mike. Can you imagine? We've been married 5 years. Can you imagine if somebody was like, oh, yeah, you told him sorry once. Like, you never have to do that again. Like, we would be harboring a lot of stuff. So to confess just means to admit you did it. Hey, I was really cranky yesterday, really cranky. Repent means, I'm sorry I was cranky. Now, notice I didn't blame it back on him. You made me cranky. That's what some of us do, right? No, it's, I'm sorry I was cranky. And then because we have a union in God, we confess our sin back to God after that, right? So then we say, God, you know, we were cranky with each other. I was cranky with him. That's your son. Please forgive me. So confession and repentance, it's not an old-fashioned thing. It's in your Bible. If somebody's telling you that you shouldn't repent, they don't know the word of God. You need to be repenting daily. Renounce. So renounce is when you unfriend it. So this is like, in the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I want to kill myself. I break up with it. I unfriend it in Jesus' name. Spirit of suicide, you are no longer my friend. It's very, very easy, but you just have to know. Some of us might need to renounce all sexual ties outside of marriage. You may need to renounce joining your body to someone that you're not in God's covenant with. Being free from that is going to allow you to have God's blessing on your actual marriage. It's the hardest thing in the world, you guys. I entered into sexual sin when I was 18. I committed my life to Christ when I was 27. That was a long haul of being sexually pure after I had really blown it, and the devil had all kinds of thoughts against me. It is God's grace to recommit your purity back to God until you're married. And it'll give, it, I mean, just look at my husband. That's all I have to say. You will win the husband by your purity back to the Lord, no matter what your past is like. Break the bondage. So this is, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of the bond between myself and the spirit of suicide. And then you'll ask for the opposite spirit to come in. So spirit of life and life to the full, come and fill me up. So this can also look like, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of the bond between myself and the spirit of lust. In the name of Jesus, spirit of purity, come and fill me up. So you're going to break that power. If you have been involved with something or someone where there is a physical reminder, there's jewelry, there's books, there's occult items, you need to commit to the Lord to get rid of those things. So those are ways to protect yourself from the demonic. Many of us do not find full freedom until this last thing, which is expelling demons. So once you know what the entryway is, then taking authority of it over it is very simple. The issue is not the evil spirit, his strength, or his name. It is simply the lie, the entryway, and the power of the name of Jesus that you need to depend on. If you know the name of it, that's great. You can command it to go by name. But the most important thing is that it goes. Yeah. All right. So, you guys ready? Everybody stand up. So at the very beginning, I said that if you are not a Christian, you are not allowed to expel evil spirits because you do not have the power and the authority. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to repeat with the whole body of Christ a salvation prayer. And let's see if it's going to be up there. Oh, there you go. Okay, this first prayer is just, if you have not made the Lord Lord of your life, this is that time that you would say, okay, maybe I am that person that has been saved for 30 years, but he's not been Lord of my life. This is that prayer. So for all my people that are saved, you're going to say it anyways. For people that want to be saved, you're going to repeat it. With us, and then after that, we're going to give you a little bit of time to confess any sins. So I'll tell you when to. Oh, yeah, that's it. All right. So, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God and the only way to God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose again from the dead. I now confess to you any sins that I've made conscious that you have made me conscious of, and all sins committed by my ancestors. So you can privately confess any sins that he is bringing to light now. But we're going to move on. So you will repeat after me again. Lord, I repent of all sins I've ever committed. I hate them. I turn from them. I turn to you, Lord Jesus, for forgiveness and mercy. If I've been involved in the occult, I repent and I renounce it. I sever myself from it through the blood of Jesus. If I have a cult of possessions, I commit to getting rid of them. Lord, I forgive any person who have ever harmed or wronged me. I forgive them just as I want you to forgive me. And you can name any person privately in your heart. And Derek Prince always says, the one that is hardest for you to say is the one that you need to forgive the most. Last part, almost done, doing good. I now claim your promise. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Lord Jesus, deliver me from all evil spirits in the name of Jesus. Amen. Woo! Let's give Jesus a shout.